Those fiery letters, meanwhile, had disappeared. There were 10 seconds of complete darkness, then, suddenly, dazzling and incomparably more solid-looking than they would have seemed in actual flesh and blood, far more real than reality, there stood the stereoscopic images, locked in one another's arms, of a gigantic negro and a golden-haired young brachycephalic beta-plus female. The savage started. That sensation on his lips! He lifted a hand to his mouth. The titillation ceased. Let his hand fall back on the metal knob. It began again. The scent organ, meanwhile, breathed pure musk. Expiringly, a soundtrack superdove cooed, ooh, ooh, and vibrating only 32 times a second, a deeper-than-African bass made an answer, oh, ooh, oh, ooh, oh. The stereoscopic lips came together again, and once more the facial erogenous zones of the 6,000 spectators in the Alhambra tingled with almost intolerable galvanic pleasure. Ooh. The plot of the film was extremely simple. A few minutes after the first oohs and ahs, a duet having been sung and a little love made on that famous bearskin, every hair of which, the assistant predestinator was perfectly right, could be separately and distinctly felt, the negro had a helicopter accident, fell on his head. Thump! What a twinge through the forehead! A chorus of ows and ayes went up from the audience. The concussion knocked all the negro's conditioning into a cocked hat. He developed for the beta blonde an exclusive and maniacal passion. She protested. He persisted. There were struggles, pursuits, an assault on a rival, finally a sensational kidnapping. The beta blonde was ravished away into the sky and kept there, however, for 3 weeks in a wildly antisocial tete-a-tete with the black madman. Finally, after a whole series of adventures and much aerial acrobacy, 3 handsome young alphas succeeded in rescuing her. The negro was packed off to an adult reconditioning centre, and the film ended happily and decorously, with the beta blonde becoming the mistress of all her 3 rescues.